אוקיי. טוב, בשם השם נעשה ונצליח. Yeah, you can turn on the lights. So, in the words of Yirmiyahu Navi, you know, unfortunately, the Tisha B'Av is very associated with Yirmiyahu Navi, both in his Sefer, in the Nevi'im, and also in his Megillah, Megillat Echa. Read this morning the Haftarah, one of the saddest Haftarot of the year is Pirek Chit of Yirmiyahu Ketuv. Says, עבר קציר כל הקיץ ואנחנו לא נושענו. Time has passed, you know, last night we counted, you know, we count a few things during the year. We count Sfirat HaOmer, and on Lil Shabbat we count the amount of years from the Churban Beit HaMikdash. 1,952 years, that's something that's mind-blowing. It's almost 2,000 years without a Beit HaMikdash is something that is unfathomable. And unfortunately, like everything else in life, we grow accustomed, we grow immune to living life without a Beit HaMikdash, and that's the biggest tragedy of all, as I'll soon explain as a Bishop. There's a Gemara, Masechet Yoma, Daf Tet Amud Alef. The Gemara says very clearly what it was that caused the Beit HaMikdash to be destroyed, and I'm sure you've heard this many, many times before. Gemara says that Beit Rishon was nechrav because of the three cardinal sins, the Gimal Averot Chamurot, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayot, Shefichut Damim, idolatry, adultery, murder. The second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinat Chinam. And then the Gemara says something else. The Gemara says that in the first Beit HaMikdash, since their sins were bagalui, their sins were revealed, the kitz was bagalui as well. The kitz, which means the end of that galut, the end of galut Bavel, they were told beforehand, you're going to be in galut for 70 years, and you're going to come back. Interestingly enough, in yesterday's daf, the Gemara says that it didn't really last even 70 years. Yesterday's daf, kuf mem heh amud bet in masechet Shabbat, the Gemara says, how long did galut Bavel last for? Really only 52. Because 18 years prior to the building of the second Beit HaMikdash, Koresh Melech Paras, and by the way, the Gemara says, by the way, that's a very famous Persian name. I say Korush or Kurosh, whatever, but it's a Koresh. Anyway, but Mikol Makom is a lot of Zechuyot. He got, the Gemara says, Chachamim teach us, that he got the Zechuyot that he did to build the Beit HaMikdash, to be involved in the Beit HaMikdash, because he cried when he was, Chafetz Chaim makes a cheshbon, Koresh was 7 years old when the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, and because of that, he was given the zechut to rebuild it. It's a tremendous thing. Aval mikol makom, he gave the Jews permission 18 years prior to the building of the second Beit HaMikdash, before Galut Bavel was even over, to come back and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, or begin laying the foundations for building the Beit HaMikdash, when Ezra ben Nehemiah came with the rest of the Gola. But the Gemara continues and says that during the second Beit HaMikdash, since their sins weren't galui, their sins were not out in the open, they weren't revealed, therefore, the kitz is not begalui as well. The end of the galut, since the second Beit HaMikdash, wasn't revealed, and here we are, almost 2,000 years later, still suffering from the effects of the Churban Beit HaMikdash. So now, the Ya'arot Devash, Gaon Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz, in Darush Zayin, it's a Sefer of Drashot, beautiful, mamash, kishmo ken hu matok midvash. So in Sefer Ya'arot Devash, Gaon Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz writes that, what does it mean exactly that during the first Beit HaMikdash, the sins were begalui, the second one it wasn't? The Gemara says meforash. Wasn't meforash? The Gemara says, first Beit HaMikdash, three averot chamurot. Second Beit HaMikdash, sinat chinam. Can't get more clear cut than that. And if the Gemara knew it, that means the Nevi'im knew it as well. So he says that's true. There weren't as many Nevi'im, or Nevi'im on the level, right, post Beit Sheni, there weren't Nevi'im like there were in Beit HaMikdash HaRishon. V'yad Chazal, Yad Chachamenu, Chachamenu HaRuach HaKodesh. So why is he saying it's not begalui? says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshit something mind-blowing. And he says, everybody understands when you think about the Gimel Averot Hamurot, you think about the three cardinal sins, everybody understands quite well that it's problematic. Even, you know, a regular person, even non-Jews, even people who are not B'nai Torah, understand that the three Averot Hamurot, there's something wrong with them. Even if you don't want to look at it as an Isur necessarily, but everybody understands that there's something morally wrong with the Gimel Averot Hamurot. Now again, we don't keep the mitzvot and averot of the Torah because they're moral, okay? Because we're not the gauge for what's moral or what's not. We keep it because it's commandments from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But kol ba'ei olam, everybody understands that there's something wrong with the three cardinal sins, idolatry, adultery, and murder. That everybody understands. Aval, when you tell a person sinat chinam, baseless hatred, okay? And baseless hatred, that's something to be explained as well, because if you think about it for a second, you have to be a real psychopath to hate somebody baselessly. You ever walk down sinat chinam? Gemara says meforash, and it's a phrase that we throw around a lot, like Shabbat Shalom, sinat chinam. What is sinat chinam? Baseless hatred. When was the last time you walked down the street and, you know, you look at a guy, no interaction, I hate you. There's a story actually brought down with Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz, the same one that we're talking about. I don't remember where I saw it, but it's a famous story. He was 9 years old, and there was a lot of stories with Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz when he was a kid. Very, very obviously, he was Gaon Adir. When he was a kid, he was a very big pikeach. So he was once in a room, there was like a kiddush or something in the shul on Shabbat, and his father, or the gabbai, somebody asked him, it was a room full of people. And he asked him, Yonatan, says, who do you think is going to be, he's 9 years old, who do you think is going to be your father-in-law? He's 9 years old. I'm supposed to know. He says, who do you think is going to be your shver? I say, father-in-law in Persian? Is there a word for it? Like mother's on just male form. Okay. So who do you think is going to be your father-in-law? Toby stops to think for a second. He looks around. He says, him. Points to somebody. The onion. So his father asks him, why do you say that? Al smachma, why would you say that? So he says, I don't know. He walked in. I pashut didn't like him. Says that's that was Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz. Aval mikol makom in general sinat chinam, huh? I don't know. That wasn't part of the story. Mistam is right because it was Gaon Gadol. Aval, you know, when was the last time you walked down the street and you hate somebody baselessly? Usually, hatred is a very powerful emotion. So much so that the Torah has to go to great lengths to tell us, "Lo tisnat achicha b'levavecha." You're not allowed to hate a fellow Jew. It's a very, very powerful emotion. But in general, by the way, psychology, I think it's 103. But psychologically, the way hatred breeds, hatred is not born out of nothing. Usually it starts with hurt. Somebody does something to hurt or insult you. Insult turns to anger. Okay? Insult breeds anger. Anger breeds resentment. Resentment breeds hatred. That's the way it goes. So, Rabotai, in general, it's very hard to understand what a chazal means, sinat chinam. It says, Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz, that's exactly what the problem was, or the fact that it wasn't out in the open. People didn't understand what was wrong with sinat chinam. It's such a big sin. First of all, what is sinat chinam? Second of all, is it such a big sin? Is it so egregious that it is worthy of destroying the Beit HaMikdash over? Hagaon Chafetz Chaim says something beautiful in Likutei Ma'amarim. He says that, you know, he writes in the Hakdama of Chafetz Chaim also, Sinat Chinam goes hand in hand with which Isur? Lashon Hara. Because Lashon Hara is a direct result of Sinat Chinam. He says that several times in the Hakdama of Sefer Chafetz Chaim. And he says, how do I know? He says, I'll bring you a proof that people treat the other Isurim of the Torah more stringently than they do Lashon Hara. Why is that? He says, ask a Rav, ask a Posek, ask a Moreh Ra'ah. How many questions do you get about Kashrut issues? Okay? Is this Hekshir okay? I cooked something this way, you know, Basar B'Chalav. How many questions do you get about kashrut a week? A lot. How many questions do you get about lashon hara? When was the last time, ask a rabbi, when was the last time somebody called you and said, you know, I want to say the following thing? Does it fall under the category, does it fall under the umbrella of lashon hara? Kimat velo. Says it's almost, you know, non-existent. Look at people's perspective. He said, that's exactly what the Gemara said. The three averot chamurot, things that people know are asur, that people, they understand, the ketz was nigla. Masha'en came by the three other sins, forget it. I want to read to you the very interesting, It's a very interesting midrash. I'll tell it to you in a moment, but first I want to start with the Gemara. Rabotai, what is, you know, you've heard this probably a million times also, and so have I. And I started to think for a second, you know, people say it's a cliche. The Gemara says the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinat Chinam. And therefore, in order to rectify that, what do we have to, you know, work on and what do we have to exemplify? Ahavat Chinam. Great. What in the world is Ahavat Chinam? It sounds nice. It's a nice cliche. But can you explain to me what Ahavat Chinam means? Okay. Okay, so Josh will tell you, loving a fellow Jew, even if he doesn't like Tadiq. Okay, even if he doesn't, there's still what to love about him. Accepting, right? Even if he's not a Gandhi person. So, you know, there's different strokes for different folks. Yeah, Aval, Rabotai, listen very carefully. It's a very, very scary Gemara. The Gemara, at the end of the portion of Gittin that's permissible to learn on Tisha B'Av, on Daf Nun Chet, very last Daf of the Gemarot of the Churban HaBayit. The Gemara says a story that, it's called, the Gemara names it, the story of Shulia de Nagare, which means the carpenter's apprentice. The Gemara tells a story, it's a very troubling and disturbing story, there's a lot of literature among the Acharonim on how to understand it, but the Gemara tells the following story. There was once a carpenter, and you know, in those times, they didn't have schools, they didn't have like universities or colleges to go learn a trade. They didn't have trade schools. How did a person learn a trade? You apprenticed by, you know, a master, a person who was a ba'al menacha. So there's a talmid, he says, you mind, he came to a carpenter, says, besed, I'll take you under my wing, I'll teach you the melacha. So the Gemara says that this talmid of the carpenter was not he wasn't the biggest tzaddik yisod onam, to put it mildly. Natan einav be'eshet rabo. He laid eyes on his master's wife. Rasha merusha, eshet ish. And after this guy does a mechesed, he says he's going to teach him a livelihood. Ma? Usam einav al eshet rabo. Rasha merusha. So, one day, what happened was, the carpenter needed a loan. And he didn't have money. Apparently, the talmid had savings. So he said, Rebbe, or not Rebbe, but, you know, Master, I'll lend you the money. Just do me a favor. I have the money at home. Send me your wife. Send your wife to my house and have her pick up the money and you can borrow it. So he did that. I guess, obviously, the carpenter was a little bit of a peti, you know, a little bit of a shomer petayim Hashem. I'm skin, naive guy. So he sent her. 3 days pass. She doesn't come home. So another old peti. Wakes up after 3 days. Oh, where's my wife? Yeah, it takes you 3 days. So he wakes up. He comes to the guy's house. He says, I sent my wife here 3 days ago. You know where she went? So he tells him, he says, listen, your wife came here 3 days ago. I gave her the money. She left right away. But I heard shmuot lo tovot. I heard some rumors that there were some issues on the way back home. And she got involved with, you know, youngsters that she wasn't supposed to. So even the naive guy at that point, he broke. He said, Mani Asi. He says, what should I do at this point? He says, listen, Rebbe, I love you to death. I have an idea. Divorce her. Ze lo tzanuaze. Divorce. He thought about it. He says, okay, you know, even if I divorce her, there's a ketubah to be paid. I don't have the money for the ketubah. So he says, don't worry, Rebbe, I'll take care of it. I'll pay for it. You pay me back when you get a chance. So he says, okay, beseder. Shomer petayim Hashem. The guy listened to his talmid's advice, divorced his wife, paid the ketubah, boom, right afterwards. I'm sure the guy was also, this Rasha, I'm sure he played a tzaddik also. You have to wait. What's the minimum? The Gemara says, what's the, wait, 92 days. Chutz, miyom haget, or yom ha-mita, v'yom ha-nisu'in. So it's 90 days plus two. Yeah? Ezeh siman Shulchan Aruch? Zeh Shulchan Aruch, Ibn Ezeh siman Yud Gimal. Anyway, bekitzur, mikol makom, that's called Shloshet Chodshei Hafana. I'm sure he waited, but very shortly thereafter, he married this lady. So, zeh, lo rasha, zeh chamor zeh. Yeah, what happened afterwards? Tagid lachamor ezeh bishmi, shu chamor. Yes, he says. This guy marries her, and now it's time to pay up the ketubah. So now the chutzpan comes to the master and says, yeah, where's the money? You got to pay me back for the ketubah that I paid for you. He says, yeah, miskin. He lost his wife. He lost his akol. He lost everything. He says, I don't have money to pay you back right now. He says, beseder. You know what you're going to do? You're going to work for me. You're going to work to pay it off. So he says, beseder. He goes to work. Interesting. He's working in his ex-talmid's and ex-wife's house. And he's working as like a butler. He's serving. He's cleaning up. Beseder. One time he sees them laughing. He's sitting on the table laughing. And you see, look at the pintalayid, look at the heart of a Jew. Even you can tell from the story in the Gemara that this guy wasn't the most intelligent, you know, the sharpest tool in the shed. Nachon? But even he, even this naive guy, realized what happened at the end. And he was hurt. It hurt him to the depths of his heart. And he was serving them one time a drink, and they were sitting at the table laughing, and he's serving them. And the Gemara says one tear fell out of his eye and fell into their cup of wine or whatever else he was serving them. And the Gemara says, "Alut asha'a nichtam gezer hadin." At that very moment, Hashem said, the decree of Churban Yerushalayim is sealed. Now, although we find many things in the Dapim preceding that, about things that caused the destruction of Yerushalayim, Kamtza Uvar Kamtza, which we'll visit in a moment, Tur Malka, right, Har Shim'on, all, you know, the situations over there, Ashakad Derispak, the Gemara says, all sorts of different stories. One got Yerushalayim destroyed, one got Betar destroyed, and yet the Gemara says after all is said and done, the conclusion of all these Gemarot is what? What sealed the deal? What sealed the decree? Was that story. Agon Yavitz, Rabbeinu Yaakov Emdin Ben Tzevi, Gaon Adir, he was the son of the Chacham Tzevi. He writes in his notes, in his commentary on this Gemara, says something very scary. It says if you analyze the Gemara at face value, you know, it might not have been the nicest thing, but in Isur-wise, how many Isurim went on in this story? You know what? The guy laid his eyes on an Ishet Ish, which is certainly a terrible sin, but Ma'asim-wise, action-wise, the guy married her, Kedat Moshe Yisrael. He waited to be with her until she was divorced. Everything, like we said, Shloshet Chodshei Avchana, Lefi HaShulchan Aruch, Lefi HaRambam, Lefi HaShas, everything davar davur alafanav. And yet, we find the Gemara says terrible. This is what sealed the decree of destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Why? And says Agaon Yavetz, this is scary stuff. And he says, sometimes the worst kinds of avonot are the ones that are not written in the Shulchan Aruch. The ones that are not explicit. The ones that you kind of have to look between the lines in order to unearth. Those are the worst avonot. And it brings a raya. The Gemara says, Masichet Bava Mtzi'a, Daf Lamed, Amud Bet. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Nichreva Yerushalayim, Ela Mipnei Shedanu Ba, Bedin Torah. The Gemara says, Yerushalayim was destroyed because they judged based on Torah law. Says Gemara Dachilak, what do you want them to judge by? You want them to judge by Confucius? Ah, they're judging Din Torah, be happy. Says the Gemara, no, you didn't get it. Not only were they judging Din Torah, Ela, they only stuck to Din Torah, Velo Nahagu Lifni Mishurat Adin. During the end of the Bayit Sheni, they did not act beyond the letter of the law. Everything was always Mamash, Din. We've been speaking extensively the past few days. If you tune in or you attend our Shiurim in the morning of Tomer Devorah, what does the Ramak have to say about always going Lifni Midat Adin? He says that's a sure proof way, segula. People are always looking for segulot. A person who always goes according to the letter of the law, whether it's monetarily or emotionally or whatever it is, he treats people only according to the letter of the law, That awakens the heavenly attribute of judgment, and Hashem says, you know what? You want din? You're going to get din. You know what the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks like? It's not pretty. I mean, it's pretty. We're not. That's the point. The idea is, we say on Yom Kippur, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to, ve'im ata dan oti kema'asai, oy li, oy ali, lo yisha'er mimeni me'uma, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us, not, you know, with his full wrath, just according to the mitzvot and avirot that we do, we're toast, right? We're burnt tadi. That's what we are. That's what it is. Abu Tai, it's a tremendous thing. Now he says like this. Listen very carefully. Ahavat chinam, if you're looking for a definition, ahavat chinam refers to loving people. What does chinam mean? Baseless. Yeah, baseless love. There was a shir going around the other day. There's a var. I don't remember which rav said it. Maybe somebody knows, but it's famous rav. Some rav in Netanya gave a shir on Tisha B'Av, and he said a very nice rav. It's a famous story. And some person came to a rav and he says, Rebbe, I have a big problem. He says, what? He says, I can't stop speaking Lashon Hara. I can't stop. So I told him, learn Chafetz Chaim. He says, I learned it, I can't stop. Give me a segula. Give me something to be able to overcome my inclination towards speaking Lashon Hara. Says, Besedin. Says, let me ask you a question. What happens if you're in a room and you hear some guy start slandering your father? But like really bad stuff. He's going to say all sorts. This guy, he doesn't know that you're there. He doesn't know that you're the son. But he starts slandering your father. What are you going to do? So he says, and take him out. Right? Forget it. He's done. He's even worse than burnt tad. Right? He's the bottom of the pot. So that's it. Sekila serefa erik v'chenik is going to do that. So he asked him, why? What's the problem? He says, well, you kidding? It's my father. So he says, yeah, and therefore what? It's my father. What do you mean? I have to stand up for his kavod. He says, I get what you're saying. He says, why do you want to stand up for the kavod of your father? Why? So he said, because I love him. He said, bingo. That's it. He says, we know, there's a pasuk, al kol pesha'im techaseh ahava. Love covers over all sorts of iniquities. He says, he asks the guy, tell me, is your father perfect? He says, by no means. He says, does he do averot? He says, probably. So he says, so why do you love him so much? Or why do you want to defend him so much? You yourself are saying, he asked, he says, the lashon hara that the people are saying, is it true? Notwithstanding, we know the very first halacha in Chafetz Chaim that he repeats a million times during the Sefer is lashon hara is afilo al ha'emet. But he says, are any of the things that people are saying about your father true? You know, puts down his head and he says, yeah. So he says, so why do you get so angry? Why do you want to defend him? Why do you want to take out the guy who's bad-mouthing your father? So he says, you know why? Because I love him. He says, he says, listen to what you're saying. If you would love Am Yisrael, your problem is not Lashon Hara. Your problem is that you don't have Ahavat Yisrael. If you would love Am Yisrael, you wouldn't be able to speak Lashon Hara about them. You would jump. You would defend them ferociously like a lion. You would defend their kavod. You're lacking. Your problem is not Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is an outcome of your real issue that you don't love your fellow Jew, because if you did, you wouldn't even be able to fathom about speaking Lashon Hara. What a thing. The Chidushei Arim was the very first Admor Migur, who's Gaon Adir, a Gaon Rabbi Yitzchak Meir of Gur. He was the first Admor Migur. He said about himself that he worked on himself 17 years to acquire an Ayin Tova. To acquire an Ayin Tova, a good eye. A good eye means that he followed in the path of Rav Levi Yitzchak. He was not able to focus on the negative traits of a fellow Jew. He only saw the good. Then when he became Rebbe, when he became the Admor, he was very sad. They asked him, Rebbe, why are you sad? You're the Admor, you're a leader. Why are you sad? Says the Chidushei Arim, listen very carefully. He says, in order to lead, I have to know all of the character traits of my Talmidim and my Hasidim in order to guide them in the right way. in order to give them appropriate musar and tochacha and aitzot, I have to know what level they're on. Knowing what level they're on necessitates knowing their midot ra'ot as well. And he says, that kills me. It hurts me to the depths of my soul to even know and kol shekin to focus on the negative attributes of a fellow Jew. Can you imagine? It's a chidush harim. They are gaon adir. Look what he's saying. He had to work on himself for 17 years. And that, Rabotai, brings us to Ahavat Chinam. Ahavat Chinam is what? That is, you know, there is understood love, a family member, a close friend, a Rebbe. These are people that in general, logic dictates that you should love them. But then there are people that, you know what? He didn't do necessarily anything bad to me, but he didn't, you know, what shayachut, what connection should I have with this person? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of sinat chinam, baseless hatred, which means, I'm going to give, you know, I discussed this with my Rebbeim once, they liked the pshat. My own chidush, la'anyu da'ati, of what ahavat chinam versus sinat chinam is. Remember, love and hate are relative. It always depends on how you look at the person. There's not one person in the world, not one person in Am Yisrael that's perfect, right? We're lucky if we can consider ourselves Benonim. The Ba'al HaTanya wrote Sefer HaTanya, and what's the nickname of Sefer HaTanya? Sifran Shel Benonim. Why? Because we're lucky if we get there. Chetzio Mitzvot, Chetzio Averot. You have to look at a person depending on how you look at him, depending on which Ayin you give to him, Ayin Tova versus Ayin Ra'a, will determine what emotion you will exude towards that person. If you look at a person, look at him. He's like this, he's like that, he has this shortcoming, and those avonot. That is a recipe for sinat chinam, meaning what? That will blind you towards his good traits, and that will cause you to resent him and eventually hate him. Ahavat chinam is the polar opposite of that. You know what ahavat chinam is, Rabotai? You're able to look at a person and to look at his shortcomings and to think to yourself for a second, one second. Who am I to judge his shortcomings? Lev yodea marat nafsho. Doesn't a person know that we're just as filthy with sin as our fellow Jew? So why are you focusing on it? You want a Kadosh Baruch Hu to focus on your sins? Mazi. Elama. What does Ayin Tova do? Say, like we read in the Tomer Devorah, Yishtabach Shemo. Is a sefer. What a beautiful sefer, says Tomer Devorah. Push away everything and say, you know what? Dayenu, there's a dayenu, you know, there's a very big correlation. We know, the Tur brings down, that there's a correlation between Pesach and Tisha B'Av. That's why two kinot on Tisha B'Av, one during the night, one during the day, man nishtana halayla ze mikol hashana, or man nishtana yom ze mikol hashana. Why are we bringing up man nishtana? Lel Pesach is like this, Tisha B'Av is like that. Well, because there's a correlation. The Tur tells us that the night of the week that Tisha B'Av, that Lel Pesach falls out, Tisha B'Av falls out. This past year, Lel Pesach fell out Wednesday night, Thursday. Tisha B'Av, the same thing. Why? You ever wonder what's the correlation between besides for the fact that they, and it goes, by the way, Atbash. Aleph of Pesach, Tisha B'Av. Bet of Pesach, Shavuot. Gimal Pesach, Gardak. Rosh Hashanah, v'chule v'chule. Yeah, the Tur brings down the whole Sima. But I ask you, besides for sharing the day of the week that year, that Pesach and Tisha B'Av fall out, what's the connection between Pesach and Tisha B'Av? Rabotai, the Geula, the first Geula from Mitzrayim, only came about when Am Yisrael, what happened 49 days later? V'yichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. When they were able to look at each other's good traits, when they were able to look at each other in a favorable manner, when Am Yisrael finally was able to get together Ba'ayin Tova, Hashem said, it's time for your Geulah. And then comes Tisha B'Av. Madua Bilel Pesach Kacha, and Madua Biyom Pesach Kacha, Ma Nishtana. You want Geulah? Go back to the original recipe. You want a recipe for Geulah? Look at Mitzrayim. They came out as a result of that. That's the undying connection between Pesach and Tisha B'Av. Ahavat Chinam is the ability you know, maybe he doesn't deserve the love. Why is it baseless? Does he really deserve that love? Maybe not. Do we really deserve a Kadosh Baruch Hu's love? For sure not. And Hashem gives it to us anyway. Avat chinam. Don't worry about it. Don't be such a midakdik. Lo nechreva Yerushalayim ela mishum shedanu ba din Torah. They didn't do lifnei mishurat hadin. Let it go. Say that the guy's not perfect. You know what? I got news for you. Neither are you. Well, no, but he's not shomer Torah mitzvot. And you think all the shomer Torah mitzvot are perfect? No, not pitom. You have to be melamed sanegori on Am Yisrael. Levi Yitzchak, zecher tzaddik v'kadosh livracha, the holy kedusha slavim. One time, the famous raid. I say the story all the time. It's my favorite story. He met a Jew on the street on Yom Kippur. He was the Rav of Berdichev. You know, besides for being a Rebbe, he was also a Rav of the city of Berdichev in Poland. So he once met a Jew on Yom Kippur and he asked him, oh, says, Gmar Chatima Tova, how you feeling? How's the fast? The person was a little bit dejected. He looked down, he says, Rebbe, I can't lie. I'm not fasting today. Not because he was a chole or whatever. The guy Pashut wasn't fasting. Levi Yitzchak raises his eyes to heaven and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam, look at Am Yisrael. Even on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, in front of their Rebbe, they will not tell a lie. Look how much midat emet they have. Can't lie in front of his Rebbe. Shtabach Shemo. Look at the perspective, Rabotai. That is quintessential textbook Ahavat Chinam. Looking over, you know, trying to be like the Chidushei Arim. Don't even see a person's faults. When you're Rav, when you're Rebbe, when you're Manhig, okay, that's a different story. But in general, look at a person's... Oy, Rabotai, I told you we'd be speaking about Mashiach. This is a very interesting pasuk. The first pasuk of today's haftarah, also from the Navi Yirmiyahu. The saddest haftarah of the year. Asof asifem ne'um Adonai. En anavim bagefen ve'en te'enim bate'ena, says the Navi Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu was kind of doing damage control after the Churban Beit HaMikdash. And he's looking at Eretz Yisrael desolate. And you know what he sees? He sees there's no more grapes on the vines and no more fruits, no more figs on the fig trees. Shkoyach. Eretz Yisrael, the land was saturated with Jewish blood. The Gemara says in Masechet Gittin that after the massacre in Betar, the fields didn't need to be fertilized for 7 years after. It was so rich in blood, from the nutrients of the blood, the ground didn't need to be fertilized for 7 years. Massacre. The Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. No more korbanot. Am Yisrael is in galut. And Yirmiyahu Navi is focusing on figs and grapes. What's shaychus? Why are you looking at that? The very first thing that he has to lament about Churban Beit HaMikdash is the lack of grapes on the vines and the lack of figs on the trees. Who cares? Compared to everything else, mazem shani. Ela. A very fascinating thing about that. Listen very carefully. This is also from the Arot Devash of Yonis and Ibishitz. What a beautiful sefer. If you can get it. Do we have it here? Yeah, Arot Devash? We should have it downstairs, no? Put it on the list. The Simoto. Arot Devash. We have? Put it on. Simoto. So he says, unbelievable sefer. Hashav, afilu be'itzumo shel tisha be'av. Zeh. Yeah. So he says, in Darush Hei, he writes, everything in this world comes as a result of tefillah. The Midrash writes, Yirmiyahu Navi, one of the Pirkei Tehillim that are synonymous with Tisha B'Av is Tehillim Perek Kuf Lamed Zayin. What's that? Al Na'arot Bavel, Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu. What a terrible, David HaMelech knew this. He said that Perek Tehillim Beruach HaKodesh because he was already menabeh et HaKurban. Am Yisrael sitting at the banks of the river of Babylon, crying, Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu Bezochrenu Etzion. And the Goyim, the Roman, the Babylonians, and then the Romans were taunting Am Yisrael. Shiru lanu mishir Tzion, says, sing for us, sing us the songs of the Beit HaMikdash. Am Yisrael, ech nashir et shir Adonai al admat nechar, meshkachech Yerushalayim tishkachem. You want us to sing, Am Yisrael, chat'u, pasha'u, and they tell the Romans, They tell the Babylonians and the Romans, how do you want us to sing for you? Sing the songs of Bet HaMikdash in Galut. Bet HaMikdash was HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malko Shel Olam. He was Mashre Shechinato beBet HaMikdash. There were songs, the Levim. The Gemara says, Masechet Ta'anit Daf Kaftet. That when the Bet HaMikdash was destroyed, the Goyim Nichnesu La'echal, it was Motzei Shabbat. That was Erev Tisha B'Av, and the Levim were singing. Rashi and other poskim discuss why exactly they were singing the song, but they were singing the Shir Shel Yom of Yom Revi'i, El Nekamot Hashem, El Nekamot Ofia. The very last pasuk of that mizmor that we say, Ashkenazim actually add another pasuk on Wednesdays, but Sfaradim end off what? Uvra'atam Yetzmitem Hashem Elokeinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to decimate the Goyim. And they were up to that pasuk by the first Bet HaMikdash, and miraculously they were up to the same Shir, the same pasuk by the second Bet HaMikdash, but apparently, says the Gemara, the Levim didn't have a chance to say that. Says the Arod Devash, would the Levim have said, have ended off that mizmor, Uvra'atam yatsmitem, yatsmitem Hashem Elokeinu, that would have been a tefillah, and the Goyim would not have been able to destroy the Bet HaMikdash and to begulei Am Yisrael. Look at the power of tefillah. Yirmiyahu Navi al Naharot Bavel, he came with them to Galut. I told you yesterday, there's Midrash in Echa that says that Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel had commanded his general, his chief general, Nebuzaradan. He told him, everybody you take to Galut, Yirmiyahu Navi, you don't touch him. You don't put him in shackles, you don't touch him, leave him alone. And the Midrash says, Yirmiyahu Navi, the Nevi HaZa'am, of all of the Nevi'im who gave Musar to Am Yisrael, nobody gave it as harsh as Yirmiyahu Navi. Yirmiyahu Navi begged the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I beg you, God, please do not send me. I don't want to do this. And Hashem says, you don't have a choice. This is your job. Who wants to give Musar? Who wants to be the person who's going to prophesize the Khurban Bet HaMikdash and the death of millions of Jews? Who wants to do that? And you know what? He got chased for it. His life was in danger. They tried to kill him multiple times. But after all was said and done, and the Khurban came, Yirmiyahu Navi stuck himself into the shackles with Am Yisrael, and the guards, the Babylonian guards, had to keep pulling him out. And they said, no, we have orders from the king not to let you. And he said, leave me alone. He stuck himself into, and he saw them crying. He went into Galut Bavel with them. And as they were sitting at the riverbanks, they were crying, and the Midrash says, Tzirkut Shimoni, in Yirmiyah, I think, Remez Shin Samach Gima, and he writes over there, you're crying now. He says, I begged of you. One cry like this, pre-Khurban, the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash would not have happened. Your tefillot would have been heard. Tefillah is the most powerful tool. Even after the Gzardin, it would have helped. Rabotai, the Gemara, at the beginning of the section of the Gemarot that we're allowed to read on Shabbat and Masechet Gittin, the Munvav Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, very famous story, HaKamtza Uvar Kamtza, Charuv Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was destroyed because the famous story of Kamtza Uvar Kamtza, I'm not going to go through it right now. Fast forward to the end of the story, the Gemara says that Bar Kamtza was able to slander Am Yisrael to the Roman Emperor, and he told them that they weren't going to bring the Korban, and he says, you know what, let's test them out, let's send the Korban to the Beit HaMikdash. By the way, we know that even Goyim can bring Korbanot, Shneimar, Adam ki yakriv mikem Korban LaHashem, the Gemara learns out, it doesn't say Yisrael, any person can bring a Korban to Beit HaMikdash, ki veti bet tefilah yikare lechol ha'amim. So he sent them a Korban, and the Gemara says that on the way from Rome to Yerushalayim, Bar Kamtza put a mum, he put a blemish on the Korban that according to Halakha would be considered a blemish, but according to Roman Aniyodama would not have. And when they got to the Beit HaMikdash, they were faced with a dilemma, bring it or not. So the Gdol Ador, the Rosh HaSanhedrin at the time, his name was Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas. And they asked him, Rabbi, obviously, they went to him, he was the Gdol Ador, they asked him, what should we do? Should we bring the Korban? So he says, how are you going to bring the Korban? People are going to say that you can bring Korbanot with blemishes. So he says, Rabbi, our lives are on the line. If you don't bring the Korban, let's kill this guy. And there's no bigger rodif, you know, there's a halakha, that if a person's chasing you, سن شولخان روخو של משפט סימן שין פ א צמנות מפורשות בבא קמא סנהדרין all over the place רודף when a person is chasing you to kill you what do you do הבא להורגך השכם להורגו חייב this guy is chasing to kill all Am Yisrael he's putting them in trouble Rabbi let's kill him he says no יומרו מטיל מום בקדשים יהרג the people are going to say that a person who puts blemishes in korbanot is going to die basof ma'asu they said we're not going to bring the korban and we're not going to kill him and what happened that was the end of Yerushalayim amar rabbi yochanan and this is possibly the most cryptic part of this entire gemara is as follows amar rabbi yochanan anvitanuto shel rabbi zechariah ben avkulas charva et batenu besarfa et echalenu veiglitanu me'artzenu the humility of Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas caused the Churban Beit HaMikdash and caused us to go into Galut and all of the tragedies that befell Am Yisrael as a result of the Churban. Many, many Mefarshim, the Chatam Sofer and others have a problem. You know, what does the Gemara mean? The humility of Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas? Why don't you say, Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas made a mistake. Say the mistaken ruling of Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas caused the Beit HaMikdash to be... What humility are we talking about over here? So the Chatam Sofer is one answer on that Gemara. I'm going to share with you one from the Ma'or Bashemish, one of the most famous Hasidic Rebbes. Says the Ma'or Bashemish something beautiful. He says, and another question, besides for that, besides for the issue of the humility, he says, what in the world was Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas thinking? He's the Rosh HaSanhedrin, he knows Halachot. Either bring the Korban or kill the guy. Why would he do this? Listen to this. He says, Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas was the Gedol HaDor, and he had Ruach HaKodesh, and he was very well aware that the decree for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash had been sealed. It's over. So what? Therefore, he said, since it was so clear to him through Ruach HaKodesh that the Beit HaMikdash was to be destroyed, he says, you know what? At least let's keep halacha. At least let's keep halacha in place so that Torah Israel doesn't get misplaced. That was his thing. So now, if that's the case, why didn't he just tell the people who were asking him, you know, they're saying, okay, let's bring the Korban. No. Let's kill the guy. No. Why didn't he just tell them, instead of saying all of these excuses, no, they're going to say a person who gives a mum is going to die. And they're going to say that, you know, you can bring Korbanot with mumim. Say, why don't you just say that? Be honest with the Chachamim and with the Kohanim who are asking you. Be honest. Say, the reason why we're not going to bring the Korban or kill the guy is because I know that the decree has been sealed and the Beit HaMikdash is supposed to be destroyed. And at least let's preserve the Torah. Tell them that! Says the Ma'or Vashemesh, Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas didn't want to divulge that he had Ruach HaKodesh. That's why he found excuses for the psakim that he gave. Aha. Said Rabbi Yochanan, an vitanuto. The humility of Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas caused the Beit HaMikdash to be destroyed. You know why? He was be'emet. That's quintessential humility. He didn't want to divulge his Ruach HaKodesh. But had he would have given them another opportunity to pray. And when he would have prayed, he would have given them an opportunity. If they would have prayed, they would have saved the Beit HaMikdash. That's why says Rabbi Yochanan, you know what destroyed the Beit HaMikdash? In addition to the story of Kamtza Bar Kamtza, that humility, the fact that he didn't give them another, he could have said, that's it, Beit HaMikdash is supposed to be destroyed. And their hearts would have been broken and they would have prayed, that would have saved it. He didn't because of his humility. And that lack of prayer destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Rabotai, post Beit HaMikdash, you remember the question we asked before with the grapes and the figs? Yirmiyahu and Abi understood that during the times of the Beit HaMikdash, as a result of the Korbanot and all of the Avodot in Beit HaMikdash, our prayers were answered before we even prayed for them, before we even needed them. But after the Beit HaMikdash, even after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, even things which seem natural, grapes growing, figs growing, fruits, vegetation, nothing in this world moves, says the Arut Devash, without tefillah. Without tefillah, nothing moves. Rabotai, we pray for the Beit HaMikdash to be rebuilt, we pray for the Geulah, we pray for Mashiach Tzidkenu, multiple times every single day. How much do we mean it? You ever ask a person, you want Mashiach bevadai? But you know something? Many times we pray for Mashiach for selfish reasons. Selfish. Why? People look at Mashiach as a way to save them from their troubles, as a way to save them from, you know, having to pay off their mortgage, as a way to save them from property tax, as a way, very selfish reasons. When was the last time a person sat down on the floor for Tikkun Chatzot or any other time for that matter and prayed for Mashiach because a Kadosh Baruch Hu is crying, because a Kadosh Baruch Hu is bitza'ar, because the world is not at its final Tikkun? When was the last time a person did that? And you know something? It's very clear. Based on the Simanim in the Mishnah, Masechet Sota, Daf Memchet Amud Aleph, all of the Simanim are very clear. There's another Siman that I had told somebody recently. The Gemara says, Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Sadizayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says very clearly, and this is happening, you know, people are thinking, what does coronavirus have to do with Mashiach? Is it a Siman? You better believe it. You know why? One of the biggest, even people, you know, obviously the people who lost their lives or who suffered health consequences as a result of the coronavirus, bevadai, they suffered. But even people who did not, and even people whose health was spared, the entire world is in turmoil now in terms of finances. Jobs, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of jobs were lost. People have no income. People do not know. People who until now have been working an honest and dignified living are now unemployed. The Gemara says, Meforash Rabotai, you can open up. Sanhedrin Daf Sadizayin. En ben David ba ad shetichle perutam min hakis. The generation when Mashiach is going to come is going to be that of extreme poverty. And not only poverty among the poor people, poverty among everybody. Ad shetichle perutam min hakis. People won't even have a cent left in their pockets. Rabotai, look around. People don't have a way to pay their bills. But I'm not even talking about people who are in the, you know, the bottom class. Upper class, middle class, look what's going on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not be any clearer with us that Mashiach is here. The Chafetz Chaim Alev HaShalom used to say the following story. It's a very powerful story. The first Rav of Brisk, the Beis Halevi, Hagaon Rabbi Yosef Dov HaLevi Salvechik, Yosef Dov the first of Bet Brisk. So he says over there, he was first, before he was the Rav in Brisk, he was the Rav in Slutsk. And they came, there was a delegation that came from Brisk to hire him as a Rav in Brisk. And he came, and they were going back and forth and said, I don't want to go. I don't want to go, I want to stay in Slutsk. And then they said something that changed his whole perspective. They told him, Rebbe, there are 25,000 Jews in Brisk that are waiting for you to come be their Rav. Are you going to deny them? Immediately. He put on his frock, put on his coat, he put on his hat, he told his wife, pack your bags, we're going to Brisk. He heard that, he heard 25,000 Jews are waiting for him, I should turn them down. That's the story, says the Chafetz Chaim, quoting the story, and he says, can you imagine the Beis Halevi wasn't able to turn down 25,000 Jews? You think Mashiach ben David, Mashiach Tzidkenu can turn away millions and millions of Jews that are asking him to come? How can you turn them away? The Beis Halevi couldn't turn away 25,000 Jews. How could it be the Mashiach can turn us away and not come until now? Says Agaon Chafetz Chaim, scary words. He says it must be that we don't want him enough. It must be that we're not asking enough. The delegation from Brisk came to the Beis Halevi and said, there are 25 Jews that are begging for you to come. And he says, you know what? I'm coming. You know why Mashiach's not here yet? Are we asking him in the right way? And even people who are praying for him in the right way. Do we live Mashiach? Rabotai, do we live in Geula mode? People are busy running around conducting their lives in a way that everything in their lives have to do with galut. Their money and their property and their investments and everything in life and their studies, everything has to do with galut. Mashiach cannot come when we are hyper-focused on galut. We have to detach ourselves from the exile and live in a way that exhibits geula. The Chafetz Chaim Alav HaShalom used to have a suit, a special suit for Mashiach, and have a suitcase packed and ready to go. He was waiting for that shofar. He was waiting to hear it every single day of his life. He was ready with that suit and with that briefcase to go to Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. How many people are ready to drop everything and run? Everything here is futile. And you know what? The coronavirus, there's a lot of speakers, and you can hear a lot of speeches, especially this year, about the correlation between the coronavirus and Tisha B'Av. Rabotai, la'aniyut da'ati, you know what the biggest lesson from coronavirus is? It's for all those people who thought, who made galut and America and work and parnasa the focal point of their lives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us a message, scathing rebuke, and said, you have nothing here, not money and not property, and the goyim make us feel not welcome. Every single day that goes by, the antisemitism goes up and up. You know why? Because Hashem says, wake up. This is not your home. Live in Mashiach mode. Live in the mode of Mashiach Tzidkenu. Prepare yourself for Olam Haba. I'm talking primarily to myself. Enough with the work. B'sedi, you have to work to eat. Malasot. Work is a curse. B'ze'at apecha tochal lechem is a klala. Lo tzarich la'asot hidur klala. You know what I'm saying? Shibari. Yeah? Ze maspik. Enough. A person has... Be'emet, it's not just, oh yeah, it's for the Chafetz Chaim. Get a suit. What suit am I going to wear? Teach the kids. Talk to the children. Talk to them about Mashiach. I can ask my girls, they're here every single Shabbat. Talk about Mashiach Tzidkenu, how it's going to look like, when he's going to come, where we're going to live in Yerushalayim. The focal point has to be here. This is Galut. Efo Mashiach. What's it going to be like? So I talk to them about the Machlokot HaRishonim, how Olam Haba is going to look like. It's not clear. The Rambam, Rama, right? The different Shitot. Okay, Besedem. Aval mikol makom, the Rishonim, the Rambam himself says, Ayin lo ra'ata Elohim zulatecha. We're not going to know exactly how it's going to look until it comes. But talk to the children about it. Talk to them. Mashiach is coming. They ask me, when's Mashiach going to come? Which dress should I wear to Mashiach? When the children ask, what dress am I going to wear to Mashiach? That's a good sign. You go to the plane, right? How are we going to get there? Are we going to need a passport? I said, no, throw away your passport. You're not going to need one. When Mashiach comes, that's it. He's the ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to, instead of getting your passport stamped from the Secretary of State, you're going to get it from Mashiach Tzidkenu. You have to live in a dimension that is Geula. When we live in that dimension, then you can turn to Mashiach Tzidkenu and say HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or you can talk directly to Mashiach. Mashiach, you have millions of Jews who want you and are waiting for you. How are you going to turn them away? If the Beis HaLevi couldn't say no, you better believe Mashiach Tzidkenu can't say no either. But it's a matter of yearning. It's a matter of really feeling it. I'm going to end off with something that I heard from the Rebbe Reb Melech. I mean, our Rebbe Reb Melech. Reb Melech Biderman, Shalita. She's Gila Arichut Yamim Meshanim Ezat Hashem. He's a Gaon V'Tzadik. And he said the following. Said the following mashal, and this is powerful. I heard this mamash right before Tisha B'Av. It moved me to tears. He says, there was once a father, a man came home from shul on Friday night, and he wanted to make kiddush. We've spoken about this many times, that people have this fantasy when they get married. You know, you ask any guy, meet a good Jewish woman, and they want to build a family, and say, wow, yeah, you know, everything, you know, I'm going to have sfarim from wall to wall, and you know, I'm going to have children that are going to stay there and sing Shalom Aleichem and you know, Eshet Chayil and stand at attention by Kiddush, and everybody standing there and saying, you know, that's good for Cinderella. Aval, ba'olam hazeh, it doesn't work that way. If you have girls, especially if you have boys, things fly, you know, people, Abba's making Kiddush. Echpat lo, Abba's making Kiddush, lo ose Kiddush, vezeh. He's got, you know, this guy's got his bowl and she has her game and her book, vezeh. You got to call, tov, until you start, tov, yom ha-shishi, v'chublu ha-shamayim v'aretz v'chol tzava'am, and then you start, you know, tov. The mashal is, one time, his father came home, and he started kiddush, he started yom ha-shishi, klum, nobody's coming, everybody's still working, you know, playing in their own dalit amot. So what did he do? He took the wine, he took the chalot, he took everything off the table, and he went to the basement. When he started moving the stuff, the kids got startled. They said, Abba, what are you doing? He said, what do you mean, what am I doing? They said, Abba, make kiddush. He says, Ah, you want kiddush? You want kiddush? Come to the table. The nimshal, said Rav Melech, is sometimes we're asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu, take us, bring us Mashiach, take us to Olam Abba. Olam Abba is Yom Shekulo Shabbat. A Kadosh Baruch Hu, bring Mashiach, make kiddush. Make kiddush ba'olam, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yom Shekulo Shabbat. When Mashiach comes, we're going to have to make kiddush b'kol ha'olam. Hashem says, you want me to make kiddush? Where are you? You're playing with your games. You're playing with your real estate. You're playing with your investments and your galut and your galut and your galut. Hashem says, in order to make kiddush, in order to stir you up a little bit, got to take away the wine. Got to take away the challah. Got to take away the parnasa. Take away the health. And says, Abba, Abba, what are you doing? Die, die. Make kiddush, bring Mashiach. Says, ah. Hashem says, you want Mashiach? You want kiddush? Come to the table. Now everybody has to use their imagination what exactly the table is. You want kiddush? Act like it. That's the way it works, Rabotai. Huge. It's musar, aval veiled musar, but it's matok midvash. Rabotai, there is no greater day to envision Yemot HaMashiach in Olam Haba than Tisha B'Av. Mezat Hashem. Unfortunately, this year we weren't zochim. Bevadai u'bevadai. Lo navi ani v'lo ben navi. Aval, if a person be'emit, and it's a thing, it has to do with ourselves, and it has to do with chinuch, it has to be a way of life. Yesterday we spoke about Torah as a way of life, and today we're speaking, and this is a way a person has to be mechanech his children, mechanech his family. Ge'ula has to be a way of life. Everything here is worthless. Work is worthless. The buildings are worthless. Our houses are worthless. Everything is shtuyot b'mitz agvaniyot. Mamash. Nothing, nothing, nothing. The only thing that matters is, where's Mashiach? And you have to cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, make kiddush, we're at the table. Bring him, we want him. If we really want him, Hashem cannot refuse. That's why the Admon Milubavitch, Zichr Tzadik HaKadosh Livracha, used to say all the time, right? Used to say in Hebrew and then used to say in English also. Bekarov mamash, bekarov mamash. Maze mamash. And all the songs that the Lubavitcher sing, right? What do they say? We want Mashiach now. Why now? What do you think? Mashiach is, you think the Chabadnikim have a monopoly on Mashiach? Ma pitum. Mashiach is for all Am Yisrael. Everybody has to feel it. Everybody has to live it. Everybody has to feel Mashiach now. I once heard somebody say, no, he had a certain ta'ana against the songs of Chabad, that what, Mashiach now, he's speaking not b'derech eretz ta'kadon. It's not derech eretz that song. I told him, atash shoteh. Atash shoteh. Mamash. Mashiach now is not derech eretz ta'kadosh baruch hu. We're telling the kadosh baruch hu, Hashem, take us home. When you talk to your father, when you want something, you know, when something's boer, when you need something urgently from your father, how do you talk? Abba, when something's urgent, how do you say? Abba, I need you to take me there now. Abba, I need you to pick me up now. That's how you talk to your father when it's urgent. Yeah. You know, the Agaon Chatam Sofer writes in his Drashot Ala Torah, he writes that to a Rebbe, you speak in third person, B'derech Kavod. Instead of saying you say the Rebbe or the Rav or Kacha Atim, you know, in third person. There is no inyan in halacha, says Agaon Chatam Sofer, to talk to your father in the third person. You know why? You know where we learn that from? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You ever begin the Amidah? Baruch Ata Hashem. We first talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu direct. Not third person, first person. Ata. And then what? We address him by name, Hashem. Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. All of the bakashot that we ever direct to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in first person. You know why? Says Agaon Chatam Sofer, beautiful. The kurva, the closeness between father and son dictates that there are no barriers, no separation, and that's why there's no third person, direct. And he says a person who's speaking in third person to his father is not being machmir. There's no such chumrah. Doesn't exist in halacha. You talk to your father, that's considered derech eretz. When you look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need Mashiach now. Die, must speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring it. That is quintessential derech eretz because that shows how close we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You understand? We have to live the derech shel Mashiach, in the dimension of Geula. People live in galut mode that's got to stop. Everything else, you know what, you gotta work to live, but that's it. Walk around lost. Ask my children how many times I exclaim, just randomly, I'm sick of the galut. Get me out of here. Take me to Eretz Yisrael. Right, Rachel? Anyway, Aval, yeah, she's embarrassed of it sometimes because I do it at random times. Damn it. Yeah. What are you going to do? You know, when you're a kid and sometimes you get embarrassed by how your parents act, so you tell yourself as a kid, when I grow up and I'm a parent, I'm for sure never going to embarrass my kids. Right? And then you grow up and what do? You embarrass your kids. That's the way of life. Aval, mikol makom, Rabotai, walk around, ask yourself, Dai, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I can't handle it anymore. That is the sod of Tisha B'Av. Bezrat Hashem, that being the case, next year, we won't be here. Bezrat Hashem, in this same setting, Bezrat Hashem, but in Chatzrot Kodshecha, in the Bet HaMikdash. Mamash, right? You take a left from the Bet HaMikdash, we'll see Bezrat Hashem, SBM, Sha'ari Rachamim. Same call, right? I said in the chat yesterday, next to Lishkat HaGazit. Right next to the Sanhedrin, we have SBM. Bezrat Hashem. We have our poskim and Sanhedrin in training over here. Bezrat Hashem. That's what it should be. Bezrat Nochas Shalom. And when Mashiach comes, and there's no Mamashadis anymore in Moroccans and Ashkenazim. In Zeo. Kulanu b'nei shechad nachnu. Zeh kol shtuyot. Zeh, huh? Well, that's already machloket. That's already. Maran Zechon Baruch Hu used to say, Maran Chacham Avadia used to say, the Mashiach is going to be Chalabi. He used to say that he's Syrian. So I asked him why. He used to love Chalabim because his wife was Chalabi. Rabbanit Margalit. She was Fatan. She was from Chalab, from Syria. So he said, Rabbi, why are you saying Mashiach is going to be Chalabi? So he says, because they eat Mechshi. Mechshi is kind of, it's a stuffed food. It's like dolma. So Mechshi, he says, Mechshi is otiot Mashiach. So he says, but he never met, I mean, he did meet them, but he never met a person called Mashiach ben David. Right? Mashiach ben David. So maybe Mashiach is going to be Parsi. I don't know. I don't know. Yes, no, Mashiach ben David? You have in the Keila, Mashiach ben David?
At least three.
No, first name, Mashiach ben David. Tov, Rabotai. Wait out. Look, listen. Listen out for the Shofarot. It's coming. You have to live it and feel it. And Be'ezrat Hashem, Bechol Yom Achakeh Lo Sheyavo. Rabotai, that's all I have to say. Tzom Kan U'Mo'in. Have an easy and meaningful fest. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Rabbi Hananiah ben Akashia Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch